The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is your source for breaking news and what to make of it all. This is the Mike Gallagher Show.
This event was committed by a sick individual who has fueled a daily diet of hate.
We have some of the toughest laws in America on the books here, but the guns are coming in from other states.
We have babies crying in our country because they're hungry and the shelves are bare. But we have to fill them immediately.
Does the White House consider this a crisis?
Well, I don't think it's about a label. I think it's about addressing directly the need.
Now, from the relief Factor.com studios. Here's Mike Gallagher.
Over the weekend, we saw an act of evil in Buffalo, New York. I hate my cynicism. I hate being cynical about, and I hate even talking politics or Democrats or Republicans or left or right. I hate this. I hate this. But it is what they do to us. It's what the Democrats shamelessly exploit that puts me into this despicable state of cynicism. Here's a headline that puts me into a state of cynicism. Biden to head to Buffalo tomorrow following massacre. Of course, you know by now, an 18-year-old monster, an evil white supremacist apparently went to a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, and murdered 10 people. Innocent people just going about their business, living their lives, going to buy some groceries. And immediately, the Democrats pounced. It's Tucker Carlson's fault. It's Fox News Channel's fault. It's conservative media's fault. That's what happens with conservatives in the media. I mean, look at the headline in Rolling Stone. This is an actual headline from Rolling Stone. The Buffalo shooter isn't a lone wolf. He's a mainstream Republican. He's a mainstream Republican. And then, of course, the headline, Biden headed to Buffalo. Biden didn't head to Waukesha, did he? He didn't go to Waukesha, Wisconsin, when a black supremacist who hates white people wanted to murder a bunch of white Christmas parade goers. I guess his schedule was a little filled then. Maybe he was worried about COVID then. Maybe he was just concerned about catching COVID. Had nothing to do with the optics of a black man murdering white people, but he likes the optics of a white man murdering black people. I hate my cynicism. I'm not kidding you. I'm ashamed of myself for feeling this way, but I can't keep it in. I can't not be truthful with you, express how I feel. I got to turn it over to you. 1-800-655-MIKE. It's what we do. It's Monday, the middle of May, May 16th, 2022, in the relieffactor.com studios. And I need nothing but phone calls today. I'm struggling vocally. Finished my run of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, and I have shot my voice, and I'm sorry for that. But between the radio show and singing and acting and, you know, dancing, such as it is, with me as a water buffalo up on stage. Show ended yesterday. I had a great time here in Dallas. Back to Florida this afternoon, later today. Back to the real world. And so this is a great day for a lot of first-time callers, a lot of repeat callers. In fact, Tracy, be generous. Even if you've called recently, we're going to put you through again, even though we don't typically allow a lot of what we call chronic repeat callers. But this is a day where I need a lot of calls to help me get through the show because we got a lot of material to break down, and here we are. But I wonder if you're as cynical as I am. Do you share my degree of cynicism over Biden headed to Buffalo? I hope Peter Ducey asks the new White House press secretary, why didn't the president go to Waukesha, Wisconsin? And Rolling Stone, this monster, is a mainstream Republican? Really? Really? 1-800-655-MIKE. I hope you join us.
Email the show, mike@mikeonline.com.
Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best night's sleep of our lives. He created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Trust me, they look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me. He found the world's best cotton in an area called Giza. Well, his incredible deal is the sale of the year for Team Gallagher. For a limited time, you're going to get 60% off these Giza Dream Sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a set for as low as $39.99, and for a limited time with any purchase, you'll get Mike's softcover book free when you use the promo code MikeG. It's an inspirational story of Mike's life. What are the odds from crack addict to CEO? Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Mike Gallagher Listener's Square, and use the promo code MikeG. Along with this offer, you'll get the deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the pillow that started it all. $69.98 ordinarily, just $19.98 with promo code MikeG. MyPillow.com, promo code MikeG, like we love to sing.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Promo code MikeG.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
Abortion is religion for the far left, yeah. And they are willing to do anything to defend that religion and to force it on everybody else. You know, they're only for the institution if it does exactly what they say it should do. And let's be clear what Roe really says. What Roe really says is that the people are too stupid to make these decisions for themselves. That's not what the Constitution says, though. And that's why we need to get back to trusting the people and actually enforcing the Constitution.
In the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike.
Gosh darn it, I hate how cynical I've become. I don't want to be this way. I I'm not a cynical person. I love people. I just finished a theatrical experience in Dallas that I got to share with you. And I guarantee you, a lot of the people that I performed with don't see the world the way I do. And the arts have a way of bringing people together. Culture, the arts, music, theater, entertainment has a way to bring people together. We had a tragedy that I couldn't share with you on the air because the family didn't know. All the family members weren't notified, apparently. But I was in Dallas I'm still in Dallas, one more day here in Dallas, and then I'm flying back to Florida today after performing in a musical. And it was a great success. We had great response. I had a blast. Played Pseudolus in a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. The day we opened, which was Thursday, the morning of our opening, our 31-year-old production stage manager, a beautiful young woman named Ashley Schneider, who we all adored. She was just a pro, just wonderful to deal with. Heck, she texted me Wednesday night. Well, she died Thursday morning unexpectedly. And you talk about something that brings a company of, 40 or 50 people who are working on a project closer together in grief and shock. I mean, 1 minute she's with us and laughing and vibrant and just full of life. And her husband of 4 months, I know, horrifying. Her husband of 4 months finds her unresponsive in bed the morning of our opening. And you talk about a tough thing to go through for these young people in this production. And since I was the lead in the show and kind of the anchor of the whole production, the producers actually reached out to me and told me about it early in the day. But they didn't want to tell the cast because they were afraid the cast, first of all, they weren't able to confirm it exactly. It's a whole mess. I mean, I hate to go through all the drama that we experienced, but here I am with this knowledge that Ashley had died. They only notified the cast that she wasn't going to be there that night. They just said there was an emergency. She wouldn't be there. Nobody knew what happened. But I knew. And I'm expected to go on stage and do this slapstick, comedic, musical theater performance. And here's all these other people I'm performing with who are happy and excited. And it's opening night and we have an audience. And I'm dying inside. I mean, I had to go into my dressing room between numbers and just put my head down. It was awful. And nobody cares who's the Republican and who's the Democrat in a scenario like that. Nobody cares. Nobody's talking politics. We're just talking about shared grief, a loss, a heartache, a tragedy. And unexpected. I mean, she was healthy. I still don't exactly know. I'm sure, I guess, a massive heart attack or something. But those are the things that should unite us. We were united as a cast when the cast was finally notified after that first Thursday night performance. And, of course, there were so many tears and gasps and shock and disbelief, and we were unified. As a country, we should be unified. But I just feel so backed into a corner when I read articles about how an 18-year-old mass shooter is a mainstream Republican. When I read articles that Tucker Carlson made him do this and conservative media and all, we're all being blamed. It's as if, and again, God forgive me for saying this, but it's as if the Democrats are saying, wow, good timing for a mass shooting right before we're about to get our clocks cleaned in the midterm elections. And they know that the midterm election is coming. Here was ABC's Rick Klein talking to George Stephanopoulos yesterday on ABC's This Week.
Yeah, George, you know that they're in a tough spot when it comes to holding the House and Senate. But when you look at the Senate, it's a 50-50 Senate. It means Republicans only need to take one seat. But what's interesting is that not all the seats are up. Of course, only 35 Senate seats on the ballot. And in that group, that's 21 that are now held by Republicans, 14 by Democrats. That means that Republicans have to play a lot more defense than they do the opportunities for offense. And when you zoom in a bit on the states that are likely to determine control of the Senate, these are the nine states that are probably going to tell us who's going to be the majority and who's going to be in the minority. And five of them are controlled by Republicans, only four by Democrats. That means if you're the Republicans, you've got to not only hold your seats, but then go on offense somewhere. That means picking up maybe in Arizona or in Georgia, both states, of course, that went to the Democrats in 2020. Or you have to move into deeper blue territory, a Nevada or a New Hampshire. That all assumes that the Democrats don't find any places of their own to pick up. And there's a couple of states that were carried by President Biden or were very close last time they were targeting, including Pennsylvania, the primary on Tuesday, a spirited Democratic fight, and an opportunity that Democrats see to win, even in a very tough election cycle.
So that's the breakdown of the Senate. Listen, they went on then to break down the House and the likelihood that Republicans are going to take control of the House.
You focus a lot on the Senate. Control of the House, almost certain to go to the GOP. They only need to pick up four seats.
Yeah, and that map right there, you're looking at the narrowest House majority by Democrats in the modern history of the House of Representatives. We know how first midterms go for presidents. None of that has really changed. But what has changed is redistricting. And this is fascinating. Our friends over at 538, they've looked at every state that's finished redistricting so far. They're not all done. So far, they've found a net total of 7 fewer competitive seats than just 2 years ago, down to just about 33. That means in the whole House of Representatives, you're just looking at this kind of narrow window of truly competitive races, places where the Democrats and the Republicans are relatively evenly split.
So, you know, they know what's coming. And even the Roe v. Wade debate with the leaked Alito memo doesn't seem to be moving the needle enough to make analysts believe that Republicans are going to regain control of the House and the Senate. So along comes this Buffalo shooting, and off goes Biden. He's packing his bags. He's going to Buffalo. He's going to go to Buffalo. Well, why didn't you go to New York City when the black guy shot all those people on the subway? New York was shaken, and he was a black guy who hated white people. He had quite a social media presence. He was very clear about his hatred for Jews, for whites. He didn't like mixed marriages. He was furious at Ketanji Brown Jackson because she was married to a white man. He was a black supremacist. And he shot up a bunch of people on a subway. I don't remember Biden going to New York. What about Waukesha, Wisconsin? Black guy decides to drive his vehicle through a crowd of almost all white Christmas parade marchers, little old ladies, grannies, the granny club or whatever it was, mowed over by a white guy, or by a black guy who hated white people, apparently. I don't remember Joe Biden packing his bags and going to Waukesha. Why is that? Why is that? Well, you know why. You know exactly why. Because the Democrats have no shame. They have no shame. Jim is calling from Waukesha, Wisconsin, and was actually in the Christmas parade, apparently, the day that monster killed so many innocent people there. Hi, Jim. Thanks very much for joining us, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. Thank you. I'm very good. Actually, I'm calling from Walhalla, South Carolina at the moment. I'm visiting my son, but yes, I am from Waukesha, Wisconsin,
I see.
And I was in that parade.
Wow. So tell me what you think about the difference between Buffalo. You experienced it. I'm sure you being part of that awful day, I'm sure it will be, you'll carry that with you forever. Give me your perspective as somebody who was a part of that awful, awful, evil act in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Well, I mean, it was just utter chaos and disbelief. It's a very, very conservative community, mm-hmm. and there has been not one writing, one anything on radio about this was a devout Democrat that wanted to kill white people. Not one thing like that. In fact, the only thing that happened from the White House was a comment from the press secretary giving us condolences for our losses.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally a foot and a half away from the police officer that was shooting at this vehicle.
Oh,
I was with a Girl Scout troop that was marching in the parade. Fortunately, we were at the very beginning of the parade, and we were veering off to get off the parade route when the vehicle ended his debacle. Crap. Mm. It was ridiculous. Mm. But it was just unbelievable. And ironically, I have been summoned to appear as a juror for his trial coming up in October.
Say that again. You were what?
I was summoned to be on the jury for his trial coming up in October.
So are you going to be on the jury?
Well, I had to fill out a 200-page questionnaire, and one of the questions
Wow.
was, were you in that parade? And, of course, I had to answer yes, so I don't know. But
maybe you'll be disqualified. I don't know. That's an interesting legal question. But
yeah.
But here's what I don't understand. You were there. You saw it. You witnessed something that nobody should ever have to experience. Was it generally understood by the people in Waukesha that this that act was racially motivated?
You know what? That has really never been brought up as a topic in our community. It was just some insane person.
Right.
There has been talk that he had been he was in a domestic abuse and he wasn't right in his mind, and they are trying to steer away from the racial part of it as far as they can, I think, by creating all these diversions.
But Jim, but on the other hand, you know, I kind of like your answer, because in a way it's refreshing to know that the community grieved and mourned and had the feeling of loss and victimization without having to inject race or politics. Evil is evil, and it doesn't matter what the skin color is of the people involved.
You know, that's exactly how we feel in this community. And conservative, liberal, I don't care. But when somebody does an act like this, this is where you should be united, not trying to use it as a weapon.
I know. That's exactly my point. That's exactly my point.
This community is still grieving. And
Of course you are. I wonder, though, what your community feels in, as you said, sort of being colorblind, and it was almost like the racial aspect didn't matter, even though this guy, I believe, clearly was targeting white people. You're going to plow your car through a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin. You pretty well know what you're going after. I wonder now that the media and the left and the Democrats are trying to weaponize the Buffalo mass shooting, I wonder what people in your community are how they're going to feel about that.
You know, that's a good question. And even this supermarket shooting in Buffalo, my son just brought that up to me. He's a police officer here.
Right.
And
right.
He is so fed up with this racially using race as a weapon against different political parties.
Absolutely.
And it's sad that it's not sad, but it's, you know, we as a conservative party, speaking myself, I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care, you know, what religion you are, but you cannot keep using things of this nature as a benefit. You know what, that term you always hear, you know, a good crisis, never let a good crisis go to waste.
That's their mantra. That's what the Democrats do. Jim, I appreciate your perspective very much as somebody who again, lived through something that none of us should ever have to live through, and I appreciate your clarity. And I'm grateful for his answer. They didn't sit around and wring their hands in Waukesha, apparently, and say, well, this was a black guy targeting white people. This was an evil man who killed innocent people. Just like Buffalo yesterday was over the weekend, an evil man who killed innocent people. But the left is profoundly, obsessively fixated on politics and weaponizing this act of evil. 11 before the hour. And listen, hey, be generous today. Please give me a call, because I'm struggling a little bit with my voice. I want Tracy to put everybody through. So, no, we're not going to have a lot of real tough standards for you today. We are wide open because I got a little vocal issue going on. And so I want you to carry the show today. So 1-800-655-MIKE. Tracy always does a fine job, and Tracy's going to relax her standards a little bit today and put everybody through, because I want your voice. I want your reaction. And tell me where I'm wrong. If you don't agree with me, if you think Tucker Carlson's to blame, tell me why. Tell me how. Let's have a lot of first-time callers today. Don't make me start pulling out the prize package, because I don't like seeing Tracy not connecting with a lot of people. Put them through. Let's go. Got to have some vocal help today, because Pseudolus has got a little hoarseness after his run in a fight in the Apple on the way to the forum. So we need lots of calls, lots of American voices, because that's what this show is all about in the Relief Factor. .com studios.
We live stream the Mike Gallagher Show on rumble.com and salemnewschannel.com. Don't miss Mike's facial expressions and all the video clips you hear during the show on SalemNewsChannel.com and Rumble.com. La, la, la,
la. If you're a parent, then you know kids are amazing and expensive, but with Fabric, protecting your family with term life insurance is surprisingly affordable. Fabric was built specifically for parents to help you manage your family's financial future like a parenting pro. Stress-free. Everything's on your schedule with Fabric because it's all online. Less than 10 minutes to apply, and you could be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Then just personalize your quote to fit your family's needs, and you'll be set with high-quality, affordable protection for your family. With Fabric's online hub, it's quick and easy to track your family finances all in one place. Get fast, affordable life insurance, create a will for your family, set up your kids' college savings plan, and even establish a rainy day savings fund. Planning for the future has never been easier. There's no risk to apply today. Fabric has a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel anytime. Protect your family with term life insurance in just 10 minutes. Apply today at meetfabric.com/Mike. That's meetfabric.com/Mike to start protecting your family today. Meet, M-E-E-T, meetfabric.com/Mike. Fabric Insurance Agency policies issued by Vantis Life. Not available in New York and Montana. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
Mike Gallagher.
Is it me or is it just a coincidence that every time I have a Democratic or a leftist president, we have more mass shootings? In spite of the New York decision coming down for concealed carry in that very same state, we have a mass shooting.
Hey, Mike, of course Biden is going to go to New York. He has to get something right. He keeps saying that, you know, white supremacy is the worst thing since Abe Lincoln time, since slavery. He's been saying it. So he's going to go to Buffalo to try to prove that he's right. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, Mike, I find it incredibly crazy that when Obama was in office and now Biden's in office, or Democrats in general, that there's high crime rate, recessions, wars, mass shootings. And when Trump was in office, he didn't have much of that at all. It's just crazy.
It's a little bit wild how there wasn't the kind of chaos and disruption and almost panic during the Trump years that there is now. I mean, the media was panicked. They were all in a frenzy over Donald Trump. But that was it. For example, you think the Trump administration would ship baby formula to the border ahead of American mothers who need baby formula? Do you think it's moral to put illegal immigrants' needs ahead of American citizens? Is that morally correct? Apparently, the Biden administration thinks so.
But I would also note that we also think it's morally the right thing to do. This is the difference from the last administration. It is the law, but we believe that when children and babies, or babies, I should say, are crossing the border with a family member, that providing them formula is morally right. And so we certainly support the implementation of it.
I dare you to tell me that doesn't just knock you over. Tell me that doesn't knock your socks off. They're like, Democrats play opposite world. It's like everything is opposite. Of course it's immoral to deprive American mothers of baby formula while making sure that illegal immigrant mothers have baby formula at the border. Let that sink. I swear to you, that's not an actress on Saturday Night Live. That's the White House press secretary responding to a question, and she's taking a shot. She takes a pot shot at the Trump administration because we all know that the Trump administration would never say to American moms, well, sorry, call your doctor, take two aspirin and call me in the morning. You don't get baby formula, but we're going to make damn sure that illegal immigrant mothers have baby formula. Uri, play it one more time for good measure in case people think I had a comedian pretending to be the White House press secretary who was just reading from a script.
But I would also note that we also think it's morally the right thing to do. This is the difference from the last administration. It is the law, but we believe that when children and babies are crossing the border with a family member, that providing them formula is morally right. And so we certainly support the implementation of it.
Words fail me. Words fail me. Ken is in Louisville. Hey, Ken, welcome to the Mike Gallagher Show. How are you?
Hey, doing good. I'm a conservative, but I do have to disagree. I mean, since they've already drugged millions of immigrants up here, which I hate and don't want ever to happen, we've got them trapped, and we've kind of have to, you know, keep them fed.
Who's got them trapped?
I would say.
Who's got? What does that mean? We've got them.
This is such a small percentage.
Wait a minute. What does that mean? We've got them trapped. Who's got them trapped?
We pretty much got them up here with their kids and everything. We can't send them back now, unfortunately. I wish we could. But, you know, if they're in these facilities, we are morally bound to feed them.
Ken, stay focused. How did we trap women crossing the border illegally who are pregnant or who have children? What do you mean we've got them trapped here?
Look, I think we should have left them across the border like Trump had. I'm all for that. But now that they're in our facilities, we have the moral, you know, we have to feed them.
First of all, you're not a conservative. You're a troll. You don't believe what you're saying. Let me ask you. Well, you are. I love that. What's the morality of American moms who can't get baby formula in Louisville, Kentucky, your city? Where's the morale? Where's the morality of that, Ken?
Do you know what the small percentage of formula is being used?
You didn't answer my question. You're answering my question with a question. Is there an immorality of American moms who can't find baby formula?
There is. I agree with you, but are you saying we shouldn't?
There's no but.
We shouldn't feed the people in our institutions.
That's not the question. That you're raising a false paradigm, and you know it. You're a troll.
No, I'm not even real.
You're calling to pretend you're a conservative, and you're giving me a false equivalency, and it's absurd to call in and say we've trapped the illegals here, and we don't give them an option, so now it's our obligation to feed them, while American mothers in Louisville can't get baby formula. Unbelievable. Nice try, though, Ken, but I'm pretty good at that. I can usually, speaking of trapping, trap a troll from a mile away. Brandon Tatum coming up next. Yesterday.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
When the New York Times recently ran an expose on Carlson's record of promoting white nationalism and replacement theory, he tweeted out the picture of himself holding up the article, the front page of the New York Times, and laughing about it. Millions of people absorb this garbage on a regular basis on his program. Fox does nothing about it. We have not shied away from calling that out and calling Tucker out on this program because what he is doing is very dangerous.
In the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike.
Yeah, Jim Acosta. We have shied away from calling out Fox News, the network that cleans our clocks every day in the ratings, that quadruples our numbers. We wish we had a fraction of Tucker Carlson's audience. We wish we had Fox News Channel's numbers. So now we're going to pretend that Tucker Carlson and Fox News Channel are somehow to blame for some monster who decided to go shoot and kill innocent people at a Buffalo supermarket. Got it. Good to know. Portions of our show brought to you by Fellowship Home Loans. Call 800-510-MIKE or go to fellowshiphomeloans.com/Mike G. Welcome home, Fellowship Home Loans. And it's not just the Jim Acostas of the world. It's not just Rolling Stone that called the 18-year-old shooter a mainstream Republican. Oh, no. Liz Cheney got in on the action. I cannot wait to get Officer Tatum's reaction to Congresswoman Liz Cheney's hot take on the Buffalo shooting. He joins us live. Brandon Tatum is the brand new host of the Officer Tatum program, which begins today. Tonight is the night. It is the launch. Of course, Brandon is going to fill the Larry Elder slot. Larry retired from radio, and what a pleasure it is to welcome the co-founder of Blexit, the founder of the Tatum Report, his news site. He's got, like, I'm told, a trillion subscribers on YouTube. Now, getting to a trillion, Brandon, that's pretty impressive stuff. Congratulations.
Yeah, Mike Gallagher, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure. I'm honored. I'm blessed to be able to be with the Salem team. You know, we're going to have a good time tonight. We're going to talk about all the issues, but not yet a trillion followers yet. So
I got
one day.
You're working on it. Well, it's all right. One day at a time. You do have, I think, 1.9 million subscribers on YouTube, almost a million on Instagram, and we know you're going to translate all of that success you've had to the radio show. We're all excited for you. And we welcome you to the Salem family. You're going to do great. I've followed your work and your voice for a long time, so having you join our team is a real thrill. I want to play for you some journalist named Wesley Lowery, because I'm very interested in your perspective on the left's reaction to the Buffalo massacre. Let's listen to journalist Wesley Lowery to Brian Stelter over the weekend on CNN.
Let's be clear. The stuff Tucker and Laura Ingraham say every night, it could be written by white supremacists very often. There is a section of this manifesto where the shooter starts talking about people always say diversity is strength. How is it strength? I could hear it in Tucker's voice. He says this all the time, right? But the Ben Shapiros of the world say this. There's a big chunk about the idea of genetic differences that could have been pulled from an Andrew Sullivan column, right? There are plenty of people in our politics, in our media, who advance these ideas and advance them frequently.
Oh, so it's Ben Shapiro's fault, or it's Andrew Sullivan's fault, or Laura Ingraham's fault, or public enemy number one, Tucker Carlson's fault. Officer Tatum, they just can't help themselves, can they?
No, these people are deranged and they're out of their minds, and they live and they thrive off of double standards. It's quite ironic that they're willing to, you know, put the blame on Tucker Carlson and other conservatives who may have some ideas that are accurate, that this guy plagiarized and used to the detriment of other people. But they're not out here talking about Ilhan Omar or any of these Democrats who are literally telling white people that they're the enemy of the world. They are really creating, in my opinion, these homegrown terrorists by spending most of their time making white people feel horrible about existing in this country, making white male Christian straight men feel like that they're the enemy of the people, make wealthy white men feel like that they're destroying America every minute because they've accomplished the level of success. I think that more so those individuals who are saying or creating this negative rhetoric create these deranged lunatics that go out and do this. Now, I'm not holding anybody specifically responsible because the person who pulled the trigger and decided to be an evil nut job goes to a shop and shoots people. He is 100% responsible for his own actions. And right. I hope he spend the rest of his life in jail before he gets executed and then have to meet judgment with God. But I really do see the hypocrisy. If you're going to point the blame, you have to look at both sides if you're going to make an accurate statement according to what you think.
And speaking of both sides, Republicans have their own hornet's nest to deal with. Here's a headline that just came across my desk. Liz Cheney blames Republican leaders for enabling white racism after the Buffalo shooter's attack. Brandon, this probably won't shock you or surprise you, but Liz Cheney is now blaming leaders in her own party for enabling hate in the U.S. Here's what she tweeted. She said, "The House GOP leadership has enabled white nationalism, white supremacy, and anti-Semitism. History has taught us that what begins with words ends in far worse." Brandon Tatum, I got to get your reaction to good old Liz January 6th committee Cheney going after Republican leadership in the aftermath of the Buffalo massacre.
Well, I don't know what kind of drugs Liz Cheney may be taking, But she is completely off base on this. And I would say she's one of the most cowardice politicians that I have ever heard of. I mean, this is ridiculous. Republicans or conservative messaging has created people like myself who are minorities who see, no, this is the way we should be moving in the direction of God, in the direction of minimal government, in the direction of America first. All of these things are presented on the Republican side, and it gives hope to every American. Now, for her to say that, I don't know if she's just pandering. I don't know if she's fallen and bumped her head, but she is completely wrong in trying to attack her own party. I mean, these feckless Republicans are no better than the Democrats who are out there. We really need to focus, hope that everybody listening will focus on this particular election and all future elections coming up, that this is vital that we get these cowards out of office and put in people who are going to stand up for the American people and stop pushing political rhetoric.
I mean, I believe in many ways these Republicans are worse. At least the Democrats, you know what they're going to do. They're going to scream and screech about gun control. It's the gun's fault. They're going to run around and they're going to yell about, white nationalism. But when Republicans do it, we should expect better from them. But Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, these are Trump-hating, I think Republican-hating Republicans. They're self-loathing Republicans, and I don't get it. Brandon Tatum is with us. Brandon is the host of the Officer Tatum Show and podcast. Of course, you got some big shoes to fill, my friend. Larry Elder, of course, a dear friend of all of ours. Let's talk a little bit about your personal feelings about taking over the slot. Beginning tonight, what do you have planned for the Officer Tatum Show, and what are your thoughts about succeeding the sage of South Central?
Well, I have to really focus on honoring and giving glory to God, because if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be in this position. And I wouldn't have gotten the opportunity. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for Larry Elder. He gave me his blessing to be able to continue in his footsteps. And my whole premise is that it's not about fame or fortune. It's about continuing the legacy that has changed America. And I feel like Larry Elder has done his work on the radio for several years, putting in the work all day, every day to change America. And it's honorable that he wants to retire. And young men like myself need to step in and fill those shoes and be able to speak truth to the people to set up the next generation of young men or women who want to carry the torch. And I think it's our obligation. It's not even a question in my mind when Salem approached me for it. It's like, this is 100% what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do the best I can. And my goal is to be the voice of the people, telling the truth 100% of the time and not caring about people's feelings, but telling the truth and making sure that we get our country back.
You're going to just knock it out of the park. We're so excited for you. And I have to say that you and Candace Owens, you guys co-founded Blexit, which has changed the narrative within the black community. And it has the shock waves are still being felt. Because you've had so much success. Brandon, I always love to ask people who have been at the helm of such a successful mission, did you ever anticipate that you would be where you're seated today and you'd have the kind of results that I'm sure hoped you'd have? Did you see it coming?
Well, I'm going to be honest, I didn't see it playing out this exact way. I thought that I would be successful. I felt like God gave me a gift to speak, but I had no idea in 2016 when I learned about Larry Elder and he was such an idol to me. Nowhere in the world did I ever think that I would be in a position to replace him on the radio. So I know that excellence is before me. I believe that God has his hand on me, but it's hard to predict some of the things that God is able to do in your life that you cannot even fathom. So I'm just true. Along for the ride, trying to do my part in society, and I'm very thankful.
Well, we're again thrilled for you. Congratulations, and we'll be listening, and we're pulling for you. The Officer Tatum Show and podcast, it begins today here on the Salem Radio Network. You can check it out on all of our platforms. You can follow him on Twitter at The Officer Tatum. They got your website all pulled off yet? What's your website?
Well, they're working on it, but The Officer Tatum, if you put The Officer Tatum in the Google website, you'll see everything you need to see about me. We'll have it all there for sure coming soon. So
can't wait to check it all out, and we're excited for your launch. Brandon Tatum, Officer Tatum Show, here on the Salem Radio Network, launching today. Break a leg, my friend. You're going to do great.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, officer. Keep fighting the good fight. Brandon Tatum here on the Mike Gallagher Show. More coming up in the ReliefFactor.com studio. Stay with us.
Want the Mike Gallagher Show 24/7? There's an app for that. Go to MikeOnline.com.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing.
There's no business like the show. Business like no business I know.
I think this works.
Everything about it is appealing.
Yeah. It does.
Everything the traffic will allow.
No one will get that happy feel.
Doing a show is like buying a boat. Like buying a boat. The two best days are when you buy the boat and then when you sell the boat.
So the best day. So for funny thing happened. The biggest rush is the opening night and the final curtain of the last night.
It's over. It's finished. No more worried about lines. No more worried about... Mark, I came into the studio this morning. I kid you not. I'm looking up. I'm going to take a screenshot.
Yeah.
My text line, my mm-hmm. MyPillow text line, which Mark Davis one day will have.
I'm doing that thing, too. I've been badgered into it. I'm going to do it.
You're going to love it. But here's what's so cool. My screen is filled with all these pictures of people who took pictures at the stage door. We had a crowd yesterday, which included your beloved Rhonda Kay.
That's right.
She was at the stage door. She gave me a yellow rose, which was so cool. We took pictures with everybody. Big crowd at the stage door. I felt like an actual Broadway star. And believe me, I ain't a Broadway star. Well, I'm nothing like that.
Let's say you and that cast are of that caliber. You and that cast put together a weekend of entertainment that was of that caliber, and we just loved it.
Well, we had so much fun meeting people, and Mark, it's the craziest thing. I know you and I have spoken about this many times, mm-hmm. but every person, I just love the M&M experience. I love the M&M experience. I got to sit in the car at 7:35. I mean, listeners were saying to me, #735, #735. That's like, it's become this thing. How many years have we been doing this?
Well, the weird history of it is when I walked into this building 10 years ago on the 4th of June, I think almost immediately the idea arose of doing a little something with Mike, and I do mean a little something. I would finish my blathering of the 7 o'clock hour, and you and I would spend 2 or 3 minutes at like 7:55. Here's Mike with what's on his show. I'll be talking about A, B, and C. Okay, thanks, Mike. We'd maybe bandy something back for a minute or so, but that'd be it. It was like 3, 4, 5 minutes max. I will research this at the point at which we finally decided, man, let's back this thing up and let's start jawing at each other at 7:35. I don't know what day that was, but it was a day that changed my life.
Well, it changed my life, and people are so, I will tell you, in 40-plus years of doing this, I had a feature that kind of comes close for years before he turned so swampy. Chris Wallace and I did a hit every Friday
sure.
on Fox News Sunday. And we did that for 5, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. And people liked that segment, too. That didn't come close to the love that we get for the M&M experience, for you and me. Every day at 7:35, and I'm not kidding you, everybody, Rhonda could tell you, she heard everybody, I'm sure. Oh, we love Mark. We love you and Mark together. Oh, we love, and it's like over and over, and not just the people at the stage door, people in the cast. So it's very special, and your friendship means so much to me, and to have you and Lisa there opening night was such a kick. And I'm glad to have done it. I'm glad it's over. Good to go back home and now buckle in for the real world. Back to the real
world.
Which
home will you be returning to by this evening?
Tampa for a week and then off to New York next week.
Very
and
cool.
And then the real world resumes with some business trips, meetings out in Camarillo, California, our corporate headquarters. which of course will be all a buzz, I'm sure, about 2,000 Mules. Everybody's talking about the success of that movie. Wow. And, of course, today we're going to have to dive in, as I know you have, with this mass shooting in Buffalo. You know, I'm ashamed of my cynicism. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to have to get this off my chest. Here's a headline. President Biden headed to Buffalo Tuesday following massacre.
I'm right here with you. I'm right there.
Now,
with
you know what I'm going to say, of course. And I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of even feeling this way.
Don't ever be ashamed of speaking truth.
Here's the truth. He sure didn't go to Waukesha, did he?
Nope.
Never crossed his mind to go to Waukesha, Wisconsin. Nope. This is, and I don't want to believe that Democrats are so craven, so devious, so nefarious that they are trying to politicize this monstrous, cowardly, evil 18-year-old monster and politicize it to say, aha, we got our white supremacists who targeted black people. I don't want to believe that, Mark.
But you have to because it's in front of your face. For those that don't remember, the Waukesha Christmas parade attack was November of last year. Black guy in an SUV plows through a largely white crowd. Listen, and I don't make a parallel thing here because this dude was a stone-cold supremacist in Buffalo. But let's just say that maybe the president wants to show up in places where people are hurting, where a horrible act of violence had occurred. If that were true, then Biden would have gone to Waukesha. There are those who are saying there's no way he was ever going there because that was a black suspect. And now with this Buffalo opportunism just right there in front of him, of course he's going to Buffalo. Is he going to wish that community well? Of course he is. He's also going to underscore that this is conservatism.
Here's the headline from Chris Burtman over at Daily Caller. It took about 180 minutes for Democrats to capitalize on the Buffalo shooting. 180 minutes.
That's three hours. I think I saw something in 3 minutes. I mean, the police crime scene tape hadn't gone up at that grocery store before somebody was going, bap, Tucker Carlson, bap, Fox News, bap, there's Republicans. Yep. It was instantaneous.
Here's the headline from the Rolling Stone. The Buffalo shooter isn't a lone wolf.
Nope.
He's a mainstream Republican. A mainstream. How do you type those words into a computer and feel good about yourself?
Yep.
Mainstream Republicans are as repulsed by this shooting as any. And incidentally, not for nothing, there were three shootings over the weekend. There was one in Houston.
Yep.
There was one. I mean, there was. It wasn't the only one. The Houston flea market. Two people were killed. I don't know. Do you sit around and say, well, if 10 people were killed, that's somehow worse than two people at a flea market in northern Houston yesterday afternoon? Gunfight broke out. I mean, gunfights, shootings. This is sadly a way of life in America. But when it's a black supremacist who is going to terrorize white people at a Christmas parade, nothing to see here, ladies
not
and
so
gentlemen.
Much. Let's and listen, obviously, 10 people dead versus 4 people dead versus 1. I mean, there are degrees of tragedy, but they're all tragic. And in Laguna Woods, California, Asian church, Asian guy, not much to see here, nothing to weaponize there.
Nope.
But give me an 18-year-old racist pinhead. And that's something that can become that's going to be a campaign ad for the Democrats this year.
But don't you feel? But really, on a human level, aren't you kind of saddened that we even have to have this level of this conversation?
Of course.
We should all be terrible. As evil is evil is evil. Yep. It doesn't matter if it's white on black. It doesn't matter if it's black on white, black on Asian, black on black. We should be united as a people, as humanity. Instead, we got to watch. And I'm disgusted that Biden's going to rush right off to Buffalo.
Wonder
if anybody's going to ask. Now, Circleback's gone now, right? Saki's out.
Yes, we now have Karine Jean-Pierre. We'll see how she does.
Yeah, we'll see if Peter Ducey will say, hey, Karine, why didn't President Biden go to Waukesha? I hope he asks.
On the fairness issue, because I put up yesterday that I want to be fair, and it was a story about the parents of the Buffalo shooter who are distraught, to say the least. I said, I want to be fair, and I can't imagine their anguish, But things like this don't tend to happen in when there is attentive and godly parenting. Now, I know kids can snap a twig. There's mental illness. Anything can happen anywhere. But and I was talking to Lisa, and she said, "Do you really want to put that out there?" I said, "It's exactly what I want to put out there. It's as a reminder to pay attention to what your kids are doing, pay attention to what your kids are consuming." And I remember having a conversation with somebody who said, "Well, you know, the parents must be this is the acorn didn't fall far from the tree. There must be white supremacist parents." I said, "Not at all. Not necessarily. Maybe just sufficiently inattentive, absent, you know, non-watchful parents, so that the tentacles of the internet could get a hold of this kid with nothing to push back against it."
Well, it's shameful, and we're going to try to do our best to tackle it today at 10:05. I love seeing that the left is very unhappy with one of the queens of the left, Bette Midler. Did you hear how she got in trouble?
Can't say I did.
She tweeted out over the baby formula shortage.
Yep.
Here was Bette Midler's take. "Try breastfeeding. It's free and available on demand." The left went crazy. She's being slammed for what is described as an obtuse tweet. Now, I don't even know that I want to try to open this can.
I took a little walk through this yesterday, but last week, because obviously, is breastfeeding an option from the moment that your child is born and from thinking about it? Of course it is. But if you got a 4, 6 month old, 8 month old baby, the mom's body just either knows whether this is going to happen or it's not. As a mom, you can't take a 6 month old and say, "I'm going to start breastfeeding now." So that's the general medical point that has evaded the divine Miss M.
But it is kind of an intriguing question, because there's a whole – and, of course, there's a whole thing with breastfeeding. And the reason it's a can of worms, I remember years ago I got in trouble once on the air because I saw a woman, you know, pop that breast out in public, and that baby's clamped on, and it was like right in a supermarket, and she was walking up and down. I'll never forget this. She was walking up and down the produce aisle, and she had a look on her face like she just dared anybody to say something to her.
Yep.
There is an activism element to breastfeeding.
Did you dare to say, "Ma'am, that's fantastic what you're doing. Motherhood is beautiful. Breastfeeding is great. Can we get you a blanket?" Did you dare to say that?
I got more trouble. Oh, I made it worse. I wondered if she couldn't go into the restroom. And that just, the floodgates opened. Well,
restrooms are nasty.
Right, well, but it's private.
Well, I know it is, but to drape something? I mean, of course, you can't drape something over you and shop. Right, I know. I mean, I get it. It's a challenge.
But Denise said that, too. Listen, Denise breastfed 4 boys, but she pointed out, there is a discreet way to breastfeed.
Yes, of course there is.
There's also an indiscreet way to breastfeed, and the activists they prefer the latter rather than the former.
You want to call it good?
Here I am, baby.
I don't think I've ever told this story on the show, but hey, why not? Why not?
Why not?
My favorite 735. My 735, where anything goes. One of my favorite breastfeeding stories. I don't know if I have a list of those. Is a mom who chose to breastfeed on the beach at Miami Beach. Lisa and I were out on a little Miami Beach trip way back in the day, pre-kid, and a woman was breastfeeding on the beach at Miami Beach. I've left a little something out of the story. The kid was 7.
Appeared
to be. That was, I mean, the kid walked out of a second grade classroom and said, walking 3 feet tall, if it was a foot.
Oh my Lord!
And it was, I remember
kid
talking
had
to somebody.
Facial hair.
It's had stubble.
Hair.
Kid had stubble. He's breastfeeding. Ow.
Driver's license.
And I was told there's a European component to this. Who knows what other type things that the breastfeeding thing does, because you know the general American answer to when breastfeeding stops is ask a bunch of the moms are going right now. When does it stop, ladies? Teeth. Bring an end to breastfeeding.
Definitely when they go to the driver's license.
At this point,
only
high school graduation was going to bring an end to breastfeeding in this kid.
Wow.
So, anyway, so
you talk about you talk about an Oedipus complex.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Seriously.
And Officer Brandon on the show today. Brandon Tatum
That's
is
right.
replacing Larry.
Nope.
Elder.
Careful. He is succeeding Larry Elder. There's no replacement.
Well, there's no replacement.
He's Larry's successor.
The great.
He's going to do
great. Succeeding the Sage. The Sage is retiring from radio. Brandon Tatum, former Tucson police officer, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He's a co-founder of Blexit, along with Candace Owens.
Yeah, man.
He's great. And we're going to talk to him at 10:30 this morning here on 660 AM The Answer. Get a preview because I think... Pretty sure tonight is his debut.
It is. We wish him well. That'll be at 6 o'clock tonight on 660 AM The Answer. I mean, we wish Larry well, and whatever Larry's going to do, we're friends forever and be a part of it and support him, and God bless Larry. But these are big, big talk show shoes to fill, and the great Brandon Tatum. I think, isn't it going to be called the Officer Tatum Show? Isn't it? I think that's
the Officer Tatum Show.
That's so awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it.
And he's also the author of Beaten Black and Blue, Being a Black Cop in an America Under Siege.
Fantastic.
That came out last year.
So, and he's a key part of Larry's Uncle Tom movie as well. He's all over
that. Sure is.
So.
And by the way, speaking of, we talked about 2,000 Mules, mm-hmm. Get ready for Uncle Tom 2.
Yeah, so Larry may be all over our respective shows from retirement.
One can hope.
Sooner.
One can hope.
There you go.
All right, tomorrow
I'm
from Florida.
Safe travels, my friend. Congratulations. Safe travels. Everybody just loved you. And next time Mike is in town to do anything, do not miss it because he is that great.
Well, I think that ship has sailed. I'm done. I'm hanging up my tap
That's
shoes.
That's it.
It's too much. It took too much out of me.
Well, I tell you what, he gave and gave of himself, as he does every day. Thank you, Mike. God bless. Safe travels.
Thanks.
Mike
Take
is
care.
With us on the radio today at 10 on 660 AM The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.